Hello, this is Eric Sinrod from Duane Morris, joined by my partner Jonathan Armstrong. This is your weekly Tech Law 10. I'm here in the San Francisco Bay where we have the Golden Gate Bridge. And Jonathan, you're in Lisbon, Portugal, where they have a bridge that looks very much like our Golden Gate, if you're not aware of
it. Yeah, it does. I can almost see it out of the window if I look through the trees. And, thanks very much for the introduction, Eric. I'm here in Lisbon, and I've been thinking about a couple of things on the plane over that, if you'll forgive, a couple of random thoughts I just thought were interesting. I was on a train down to London a week or so ago, and I noticed that the person opposite me, female opposite me, spent about 35 minutes solidly on her iPhone, just staring at it. And I couldn't help but notice after a time that she was using it as a mirror while she applied her makeup. Mm-hmm. So she's got the iPhone, and apparently there's an app for this as well. She's got the iPhone focused on her face, and rather than take a mirror out of her handbag to apply her makeup on the train, she's using her iPhone. And
can I interrupt 1 second? It's funny you say that. Yeah. Just on Sunday, I was saying to my wife, there should be a mirror app for an iPhone. And she said, no, what you do is you look into the camera and you just switch its view so it's facing back at you, and it's a mirror.
Yes, apparently that's right. And but apparently, if you so choose, you can have a specific app to do that as well. And then the other thing I was thinking about is I went to a school in Oxford last week as part of the Know the Net campaign. And we've talked about this on our podcasts before. And Know the Net is a not-for-profit funded by a body called Nominet that helps run the internet in the UK. And we were talking with kids at Matthew Arnold School there about how they use the internet and how they connect. The iPhone's very different, and as companies move to stretching the office space out of their boundaries, then that causes a whole host of different risks. So the girl who's using her iPhone as a mirror obviously might take it to a nightclub on a Saturday night, get it out of her handbag because it's a mirror. But it might also be a device for connecting to the corporate internet. And unless corporations are using protection to stop that mirror getting into the wrong hands and being stolen, then it seems to me that that's a recipe for disaster, particularly when we see that people, I guess, of my age and younger do use one device for a whole host of different situations. You know, it's very rare now to find a cell phone, a mobile phone, that isn't a camera. I know one corporation that tried to find devices that weren't cameras for security reasons, and that was incredibly challenging. And equally, almost every device that we have, even the devices that our kids have a greater ability to access the internet and access email than computers of 10 years ago did. And it seemed to me that for some organizations, we've caught up with those new risks, but for others, we haven't. And we've had two incidents in the last week in the UK, for example, concerning Twitter and Facebook, where people in one case have got a jail term and in another case have been charged and may well get jail terms because they've sort of blurred that almost that immediacy that we would expect in a work environment versus the, you know, the consideration that we have to apply on social media, given that the audience for that is not just limited to Portugal or the U.S., but it's truly worldwide. So I wondered if you had any thoughts on that, Eric.
Well, I noticed the subtle dig. You keep saying my age or younger when referring to yourself, which to the audience should know that Jonathan's, what he's saying is that I'm older than he is, but I want the record to reflect. I'm not much older, but this reminds me of...
And to be absolutely fair, Eric, you look far fitter than I do.
Okay, I'll accept your sideways apology there. And then it also reminds me, maybe Jonathan, you're too young to remember, but back in the 70s, The Who, on The Who's next album, had a song called Going Mobile. I doubt very much in the 70s when the Who were singing Going Mobile, they were thinking about this new context. They were actually thinking about when you get in your car and go for a drive. But, you know, you definitely bring up some interesting points, and there's certainly, you know, some concerns. You know, once upon a time, people used to refer to me as Inspector Gadget because I had on my belt, you know, a Palm Pilot, you know, an iPod, and I think one other device that I can't even think of, but I literally had three devices. Well, everything is converged now. It must have been a camera, by the way. But now everything is on one device, and that has great utility and functionality, and it's terrific in terms of all that we can do, but there certainly are risks. And, you know, there are definitely concerns where people can take cameras anywhere they want to go, because not only can you take embarrassing photos of people and, you know, pop them on, you know, social media sites for the whole world to see, you can take videos and they show up on YouTube, but plainly, you know, in the workplace, and I hope this is responsive to your comments, but in the workplace, you know, somebody can take photos and gather information that's, you know, highly top secret as a trade secret and intellectual property, and companies have a big concern, you know, that the crown jewels of the company will go walking out the door as recorded on these mobile devices.
Now, I'm sure that's the case, and I'm sure I'm sure some of the cases that are going to come into the public domain are just moments away.
Well, and then also in litigation, at least here in the United States, you know, we have fairly broad discovery laws that include electronic information. So now not only in discovery and disputes are we seeking, you know, vast quantities of paper records, but we're seeking, you know, information from, you know, networks and servers and laptops, and they can also be, you know, harvest information from PDAs, handheld devices. And then there's all sorts of information that can be stored there. So, and there's such a great ocean of data now that's being recorded on a constant basis by everybody that everything seems to be fair game. And at least in the court of law, it doesn't necessarily take very much to tilt the opinion of a judge or a juror. All you need to have is one incriminating text message or email or photo, and it can really carry the day.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. And for those of you who are interested in more detail, we'll post it on our LinkedIn site. But know the Net have been doing a campaign on the risks of being truly mobile and man-in-the-middle attacks and spoof Wi-Fi networks and so on, which we haven't got time to cover today, but might be useful background for some people.
Let's wish Jonathan a happy stay in Portugal, and perhaps he'll walk across that bridge that looks like the Golden Gate, and he'll take some photos for us, and he'll post them.
Yeah, I hope so. I'll try and do that. And meantime, Eric, I wish you buenas tardes, and with apologies for the accent, we'll see you next week, I guess.
Right. So remember, you can see us. My email address is ejsinrod@duanemorris.com. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, whatever else I've forgotten. Jonathan, do you want to close it out?
Yeah, I'm jparmstrong@duanemorris.com. Yeah, do connect with us, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and we'll speak to you next week. We're always happy to receive topics, so get in touch with us if you can think of something we should cover too.
Okay.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.